sing a song of praise, come let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light, come let us worship, worship the Lord. In all His wonders and grand His ways, come let us worship the Lord.
Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Brother Wayne Pitts will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and everyone is invited to participate in that service. At 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be leading the continuing study of church history, and at 4 p.m. Pastor Otero will continue the class titled, What Say the Scriptures? Training on Studying the Bible and an Opportunity to Ask Questions of Pastor. At our 5 p.m. service today, our guest speaker is Greg Tomlinson, who will be speaking on the role of husbands in marriage from a biblical perspective. On Wednesday at 6 p.m., our sister Helen Menig will continue leading the class on healthful nutrition, followed at 7:30 p.m. by our Wednesday evening prayer service. We will continue viewing Dr. R.C. Sproul's lecture series, continuing the lecture titled, If There Is a God, Why Are There Atheists? As many of you may be familiar with Dr. Sproul, he has written more than 40 books on theology, apologetics, and ethics. After that, we will go before the Lord in prayer. As most of you are aware, I remind you again, though, that the 11 a.m. services are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet on our website at www.bethelmorganhill.org. And after a brief respite in August, now our 5 p.m. Sunday service is live on the internet again as well. Past Sunday services and sermons are archived and can be heard at any time on the internet. Also, for your information, we will be starting in October to broadcast live on the internet our Wednesday evening service. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship now with hymn number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 62, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please rise as we sing hymn number 475, Redeemed.
Child and forever I am. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this glorious morning here in the state of California. It was such a beautiful day. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we pray, O God, that as we worship today, we will do so in His spirit and in truth. We pray that for this hour, Father, that we will put away all our thoughts and plans and worries of the last week. And now we will sit down and praise your name and worship you in a spirit and in truth. Cause us, O God, to concentrate in thy word. And Father, above all, to see the practical benefit that it is to understand you and to practice what you said. Lord, as human beings, we are always looking things through the flesh because that's what we lost at the fall of Adam. We lost the spirit of the living God. But now as believers, we have recovered that spirit and we have the ability to look things in a different way. Like Paul said in Romans 7, there is a battlefield within our heart between the flesh and the spirit. But Father, the Bible tells us that we are not to be afraid of it because greater is he that is in us than the one is in the world or even in our flesh. And so as we worship you today, may the beauty of Christ and the power of who he is empower us to live a victorious, peaceful, and hopeful Christian life. Lord, within the body of believers, we have some people that need your touch. Our brother Fred Vitola, tomorrow at 12 noon, will be on a very special surgery on the liver. Things going to be implanted there. Tubes going to be from the coronary artery onto the liver out. There is an exploratory surgery to save his life. Lord, he's well. He's testifying about you in the hospital, and as I visit with him, he's encouraging others who did have that surgery. Lord, I want to thank you for the hospital, the California Pacific Medical Center for Hepatitis. What a beauty. What a research center. And people are so kind and so gentle. So thank you, Lord, for America and for our development of medicine. Lord, we pray that tomorrow you will have your hand and power on Fred and Laura, Desiree, all the children that will be there, and I will be with them as the surgery takes place. And that our brother will be again back into Nevada, busy and teaching Sunday school, visiting the sick, and doing the work of the ministry of the Lord as he retired. Lord, what a blessing was to have Fred with us. And now all of us as a family pray for him that your mercy will be upon his life. We have another warrior of faith in our church, Loretta Forrest. And we learned to love them. I learned to love them 30 years ago. And she is confined to a rest place where she is retrained and hopefully be back in her feet. And we pray, Lord, that the treatment on the cancer and the treatment on the leg will be successful. Meanwhile, Father, we pray that as we visit with her, we will bring encouragement and thanksgiving for her life because she dedicated with her husband and children to the life of children. And many, many children today in the Silicon Valley can say that they know the Lord because of Loretta Forrest and Joe Forrest. And we thank you, Father, for that. Father, we are praying also for Jorge Peretti, away from here 11,000 miles in a very critical situation with the heart under treatment. And so, Father, we pray that your hand of mercy will be upon him. Lord, we have great, large number of friends in the internet. And I'm delighted to receive emails from people that have been in church here 13, 14 years ago, and now they find us again. What a joy. Father, for those who are listening over the radio and those who listen later on in the tape ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And our church is expanding rapidly and massive across the world with only one message. We love Jesus because he loves us. Father, we are praying for our long list of missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benal, Modena, Martha Foretti in Argentina, Daniel Lacey, his next stop will be in Puerto Rico, and he will be with Midian there, and we pray for his strength, wisdom, and for Giovanni and Daniel in Guatemala, for David Rode, who is in Papua New Guinea, for the San Jose Association that works with young people in the ministry of sports and a sparkling Christ to them. Lord, thank you for that. And then for our Sad Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to have such a number of missionaries and a diversity of ministries. But Father, how beautiful it is. Each one of them have the same focus, that the people may know Jesus. Lord, we are grateful that last Sunday, the Board of Deacons of this church, my good friends and my supporters, and my strong life is our deacons. Lord, they have accepted the suggestion of the church to put our brother Greg Tomlinson as an associate pastor. And it is an honor for me to have him shoulder with shoulder with me. And Father, we want to pray for him, for Maria, and for their children. They, as they work in the private life, as he studied in the seminary, and as he served in the church in this high capacity, that his life will shine for Jesus. And that we, the people of God, that we going to learn to love Greg in a different dimension. And that I, as a pastor, will dedicate, because of his work, will have time to dedicate more hours to the study of thy word, so that I can bring the message with simplicity, but with clarity to the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for the deacon board and for their wisdom. Lord, what a privilege we have today in lifting up our voices in song and praise as a symbol of seeking your face and seeking for your truth. Lord, you speak right now and let me get out of the way, so today people may see Jesus again. Thy word is very important to me. It's thy truth. And so I pray that you will allow me to explain your word with clarity and simplicity, so people today may see Jesus. Thank you for the support of this church to the ministry. We are living in California in very tough times. But this church has stand strong because these people here, they love you, oh God. And that's what they give their money for the ministry, because they love Jesus. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, turn to page 704. We will be reading Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Blessed be God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the illumination of the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, and for this marvelous revelation of the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that our Redeemer and Friend is eternal God, our Creator, who upholds all things, the physical and spiritual laws, by the word of his power, and has revealed you to us. When we consider that we were once ignorant of these things, although it is inadequate, we can only express our love for you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God, and thank you for your mercy and grace. We pray now for your servant, our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and his words as he comes to tell of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless any believers, I should say unbelievers, who are here or listening on the radio or internet, that they may come to understand that they, like all of us, have sinned against a holy God and believe in the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, and repent and be saved from judgment and condemnation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. Today is the first Sunday of the month, happened to be the month of September of the year 2003. And we do celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday by tradition, not by command of the Scripture. Scripture asks to do it every Sunday, as I see it, but by tradition of our church. We do celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday. And I'd like you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, page 676, if you have a Bible that is in the pew. And I want to read the instructions of the Lord's Supper and what need to be said on the Lord's Supper according to the Scripture. Now, as a little background, in verse 23, you will notice that Paul said, For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. Now, the church of Corinth argued with the Apostle Paul later on in a letter that was lost, that you received nothing from the Lord because you were not there when the Lord was on earth. You were an enemy of the church at that time. And therefore, what do you say? Why do you say you have received of the Lord? Well, Paul explained to another church familiar with that thought. And you are in Corinthians. If you move your Bible to the right, you get 2 Corinthians and then Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, and I say this as a way of instruction to you in case somebody said to you, how can Paul receive from the Lord when he never saw the Lord in person? In Galatians 1, he surprised the church by saying, I'm just shocked that you people have received the word of God and now you are so far away. And then he gave testimony in verse 11 on. If you go in Galatians 1, verse 11, said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is no after man. See, they were arguing, said Paul, what you preach is something that comes from the philosophy. You remember, he was a philosopher, like Dr. Sproul is a philosopher. The half hour that we have last Wednesday was pure philosophy from different parts of the world. And now he's going to come back to the Bible. Now, some people have been trained a lot in their life. And so Paul was one of them. Paul of Tarsus was one of the philosophers of the era. And people were saying, what you are saying about Jesus as philosophy? And he said, no, look. Verse 11 in Galatians 1, then verse 14. And profit in the Jew religion about many, my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. He was a Pharisee. He was a top guy. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That's common to all of us. To all of us. It's a joy to read that verse. When pleases God to wake you up and say, you're my child. But you do not became a child of God because of your ingenuity, of your background, or whatever. God saved you from your mother's womb. Isn't that great? It's just fantastic. Mothers who have babies, rejoice in the Lord because he saves babies. He's specializing in saving babies. And then later on, he tells the baby, I save you, wake up. It's beautiful. God is beautiful. It's more simple than what we make it, don't we? Look at verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens. And that's Acts 15. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. I don't talk to anybody. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. For how long? Look at how long. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and so on. So now going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, perhaps you want to write in pencil beside verse I have received. You want to write in pencil Galatians 1, 11 to 18, so that you know that Paul had received his instruction eye to eye with the Lord, because he met the Lord through the reading of the scriptures and through the revelation of the Lord there 3 years alone. All right? Now, I keep on reading now in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Here's what he received of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, and some of you who have read lines on Jesus, this is in red because this is what Jesus said. Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. These do in remembrance of me. Is that what remembrance? Remembrance of me. And verse 25. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. These do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And then conclude in verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And so 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, we are charged to remember the Lord Jesus. Verse 26, look again. We are charged to do so till he comes. You see verse 26? And drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Or until he comes. Is that clear? We are to have the Lord's Supper until he really comes. The word till is the word akri, which comes from the word akrion, which means from point one to point B. That's what it means. And if you don't believe me, please put one hand in Corinthians and turn your Bible to Matthew's chapter 24. I promised myself to finish in time, and then I see that my outline is only half of a page, but I load it with a scripture. And I want to finish in time so those who listen on the radio have a complete sermon. But I had to inform you. Don't we? I'm your teacher. I had to fill you with a scripture. Matthew 24, verse 31. Look at how the word teal is used. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. That's the word teal in Greek, from one end to another. That's the word. That's how God used that word. And so when the Bible says you celebrate the Lord's Supper till he come from one end. Now that Jesus is in heaven, till means the other end he comes. Is that clear? It don't need any more explanation. I hope so. So we are celebrating the Lord's Supper because Jesus say it. Not because a man say it or because anybody, it's just because Jesus said it. You have to do it. Now, what do you need to remember about Jesus? And if I ask you a question, all of you will have an answer. All of you are well-trained here in church, and I know you will have an answer. But I'm the preacher, and so I have to select one remembrance of Jesus. Now, Nathanael said that he was the son of Joseph of Nazareth. Remember, they said, Nathanael, we have found Jesus. And that's in John 1. And I see that if I go through the scripture that I have, I go over. So I'm going to eliminate some of the things. Nathanael in John 1, they said, come on. We found the Messiah. Where is he from? Like today, pastors, when they introduced to others, they said, where do you study? To find out how much you know. And they said, where is he from? I said, from Nazareth. And remember the words? Is anything good from Nazareth? Like somebody said, from Morgan Hill. Is anything good from Morgan Hill? Come on. All right? So Nathanael thought that the birthplace of Jesus is nothing. Now, people said that he is the prophet of Nazareth. And that's way in Matthew 21 when they said, we have met Jesus in Matthew 21:11, the prophet of Nazareth. And other people thought that he was John the Baptist or Elijah or perhaps Jeremiah. In Matthew 16, verse 13 to 14, Jesus said, who the people said that am I? And he said, oh, you are Elijah. And in one sense, spiritually, he was Elijah. And then he said, you are Jeremiah. And spiritually, he fulfilled words of Jeremiah and so on. But then he said, who do you think am I, see, and so on. So people think all kinds of questions. And so the $4 million question is this, who do you think Jesus is? Now, what you remember about Jesus will fill that answer. Who do you think Jesus really is? All right, I always answer with Romans 4:3. What says the scripture? I always answer like this. Or with Galatians 4:30. What says the scripture? Remember these two verses. Romans 4:3, Paul was asked about how Abraham was saved, and he said, what says the scripture? And remember Galatians 4:30, he said, all your doctrine is wrong. And he said, what says the scripture? See? So the key about Jesus is, what says the scripture? And the topic today for you is this. I want to remember Jesus as God. No, a type of God. Jesus is God. Now, that will go against everybody. I tried it this morning early with Bernie. You know the guy that came at 8:10? He was talking, he was saying good things, by the way, today, about Jesus and so on. And I said, Bernie, it's me. He said, what do you want to know? He said, I don't want to know anything. I want you to know. I want to ask you the question. No. What is it? He said, is Jesus God? I know, Bernie, you are in a secular radio station. I said, but I just want to have fun. Tell me the answer. So everybody listen. Is Jesus God? He said, for some people, he is. I said, well, that's a true answer. For some people, he said. So I said, I'm going to go a little farther. Is Jesus God to you? Now you are a reporter in a secular radio station. You maybe lose your job. Tell me the answer. He don't say anything. Well, he's a good philosopher. He put cream around the thing. What says the scripture? Somebody said to you, Jesus know God. Then your responsibility and my responsibility is to tell it he is God and tell him why. So let's study. All right? I'm going to give you four or five places where you're going to know that Jesus is God. Now, God said that Jesus is God. Let's go back to Hebrews 1, page 704. To Hebrews 1, our brother read this morning the scripture. In Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 so they give you the context. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the passage, the paragraph, is talking about Jesus, the Son. And look at in verse 8 what the Bible says. But unto the Son... See, the same person is talking in verse 1 and 2. And to the Son he said, thy throne, O Deus. Woo! This is tremendous. God the Father said to God the Son, you are God. It's forever and ever. It is scepter of righteousness. Today you study Shiloh in Sunday school. And Shiloh is in a scepter of righteousness, which is a picture of Jesus. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Do you saw what I saw? God the Father is saying to God the Son, that is saying, you are God. Thou are God. And you know, you can check the Protestant Bible. You can check the Roman Catholic Bible. They all say the same thing. Jesus is God. Even the Living Bible. Amazing. Amazing. Jesus, God the Father. I don't say it. God the Father say it. Thy throne of God, it is scepter of righteousness. All right? God said Jesus is God. Number two, a scriptural prophecy said that Jesus is God. A scriptural prophecy said that Jesus is God. And I'm going to go back all the way to a very well-known book, the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9 and in verse 6 and 7, which is page 414. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, page 414 in the Pew Bible. Now look at what Isaiah, this is a prophecy, this is a projection about Jesus. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. Now look at this one, the Mighty God. Prophecy, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, equal with the Father, you see that? The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is something that God says so, and is going to be performed. All right? So a scriptural prophecy said that he is God. Now, the New Testament scripture, we have the scripture in general, book of Hebrews 1:8. Now, the New Testament scripture, when the New Testament starts, the New Testament said that he is God right at his birth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Look at what the angel announced, and this is New Testament scripture. Matthew 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means, look at what the Bible said, which being interpreted, in other words, translated the name is God with us. No type of God, no something similar to God. Deus, Zeta, Epsilon, Omicron, Zeo, God with us. Right at the very beginning. So you got the next then explanation here. Jesus is God. A scriptural prophecy said that Jesus is God. The New Testament scripture said that he is God. Now, something very deep. Jesus himself said that he is God. If you go with me to John Gospel chapter 5, page 624, in John Gospel chapter 5, in verse 17 and 18, that's page 624, look at what the scripture says. Jesus answered them and said, my Father, he's talking to the Pharisees, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, my Father worked. They were talking about God in the paragraph. And then he said, my Father worked, and I work. And look at the reaction in verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See, people understand the Bible. There is a problem with people. And the problem is not their understanding, is that they believe not. That's the problem. Everybody understand English when you read it? The problem is you accept it or you will not accept it. Look in John chapter 12, verse 44. You are in John 5. If you go to John chapter 12, in verse 44, look at here, the words of Jesus. Jesus cried, you remember when Jesus, in John 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And look at what he said in verse 44. He that believe of me, believe not of me, but on him that sent me. In other words, when you believe in Jesus, you are believing God. So he's equal with God. He is equal with God. In John 10, in verse 30, John 10 and verse 30, then you have an open, bold statement of the Lord Jesus. I and my Father are one. Some people say, oh, one of a kind. One of essence. No one of a kind. One. In philosophy, number one can be divided by millions of things. Like computer people divide the number one in millions of parts, the number two in millions of parts, then you have the binary system, all right? And so people think God is philosophy. When God said one is one, there's one essence, nothing to it. Now, why is it so important that on this Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the bread, the symbol of his body, the fruit, of the grapefruit, a symbol of his blood. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? And what do I need it for? That I'm telling you that Jesus is God. So here's the conclusion. It's very deep. If you go back to Genesis 1, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We have mankind created. Actually, I like Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 1, 26. God made mankind. Mankind. See, Adam means mankind. God makes mankind in the image of God. God is perfect. God is creative. God is sinless. God made a reproduction of himself. Chapter 2, and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam don't know what a die is. He was born and nobody died before. He said, you should surely die. What that means? All right? So God conditioned man to love him. Love is that. Love is obedience, respect for the other person. That's love. And God conditioned. Remember God in 1 John said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. In other words, when we say that we love God, it's not when we sing in the choir or sing as a congregation. It's when every day as we walk on the streets of life, we respect God's law. And then in Genesis 3, you know this story, man sinned, disobeyed God. And the Bible says in verse 5 that Satan brought a false gospel. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that there was good food and it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and give also to her husband with her and did eat. Now look at what happened in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. Does that mean they were closed before? I explain to you in a minute. And they knew that they were naked. You tell me? The Adam and Eve were naked. That's the way they were, walking naked. And they don't know they were naked? Mentally, they don't know they were naked. They saw themselves nude, and they don't know they were naked. No, they knew. But now, they know that they are naked in a different way. With the flesh. With the flesh. If you and I were not touched with sin, you can see a woman naked and nothing happened to you. But now you see a woman naked and something happened to you if you're a man. And the reason is, we are Adam died spiritually. No longer the Spirit of God controlled his life. And now flesh came into his life. And he sees things only through the flesh. And now he recognizes it. You say, Pastor, this is an Adam. Pastor, this is way back who knows when. Well, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5, at verse 12, page 664. Yes, if you tell me, this happened, who knows when, that's right. But look at what Romans 5 and verse 12 says in page 664. This is very important because this is going to give you an idea why we need a Savior. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sin. Do you see what I see? The seed of Adam and Eve was Cain and Abel. And you read Genesis 5, you have the genealogy. And Genesis 10, you have the development. The seed of Adam and Eve came marred by a dead spiritual life. And the seed of Adam and Eve only see with the flesh. Until God put his spirit on it, and now you got a war between your spiritual understanding and your fleshly understanding. And one day the fleshly will drop when we die, and then in heaven we will have a body and a mind as we were created in God. But you see, these pass on and on and on. And so now we need somebody to redeem me, somebody who have not been touched by this kind of sin, so he is pure like God. I need somebody like Genesis 1:26. I need somebody who was created in the image of God, perfect, without sin, so that I can grab him and have him. God provided. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. You know the passage. Philippians chapter 2. Look at what happened. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at who was Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, he was in the form of God, thought no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He was not a full man. He was a full man in the sense of his body, but he did not have that fleshly look. Remember our Holy Mary? She delivered the baby. What a privilege for a woman, huh? Deliver the baby, the Savior of the world. And then that baby, she was shocked that she was not touched by a man. That means the baby was born not through a seed of a man, but through the seed of God, who is perfect. And now that man comes, and he had no flesh. Some people say, you tell me that Jesus saw women and he never was enticed? No, because he had no fleshly eyes. You tell me that Jesus went with these women and he never had an affair? Yeah, right. So why? Because he had no fleshly eyes. If you had no fleshly eyes, you would not have an affair. You will be glued to your wife and be a gorgeous man. Your wife will be in love with you. How perfect you will be. But we don't have that until Christ comes. And now Christ has that purity, and that purity can be implanted to you. See, if Jesus is not God, then Jesus is just equal to Mohammed or to Buddha or to anybody else and cannot change your fleshly eye. But if he is God and he has the ability to penetrate in you, he can give you that back life with God, and now you have to make a decision. Would I obey God or would I disobey God? Only a believer have that kind of problems. I tell people, oh, Christians are a garden of roses. No, sir, there is a battlefield when you're a Christian. There is a battlefield. And the book of 1 John talks about it, between what is right with God and what the flesh wants. It's horrible. It's horrible. There is great hope. If you turn your Bible to Romans 10 and in verse 9, there is a great hope. There is a great hope. That's the message today. Jesus is God, and because he is God, there is a great hope. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, saved from what? Saved from that flesh of yours and mine. Save. If you have come to believe, if God enables you to believe that Jesus Christ is God and he died for you, that was the price of that sin, death, remember? Thou shalt surely die. If he died for you and God raised him up again, then you are able to believe that. Now God is able to implant into you that nature of God that now is there and will be there until you die. It will be a battlefield in your life, but at the end of your life will be a glorious presence with God. Coe Park, they have studies for snakes. I don't like a snake, but I asked them if they can flash me in the internet some studies on the snakes and when they shed their skin and so on. And they sent me a whole thing. And I thought to myself, that's me. One day I will shed this body. And will remain the spiritual body of God. That's when in heaven there will be no trouble. There will be no envy. There will be no difficulties because we're all going to be like God. You see that? But all depend what you do with Jesus. If Jesus was not God, then we are not saved because there is no other Savior provided. But if he is God and you have come to believe in his work for you, then you are saved and glorified, and one day the fleshly body will go away and the glorious body will be there. So let us participate of the Lord's Supper with joy. If you are a believer, you say, God, now I know what I had difficulties. Now I know it's sometimes I lie. Now I know, God, where sometimes I speed up in the freeway. It's my flesh. It's my flesh. Now, Lord, I know what I answer bad to my wife. And, I learned a new word to deal with my wife. You know, after 42 years, you have to learn something. And when I'm don't want to do something, I said, I'm frustrated. And so my wife had compassion on me. All right. I tell you, when you look in the mirror of yourself alone, when you're alone and you look into yourself, it's so ugly. It's so ugly. And so I'm looking forward. As I told my brother Vitola there in bed on Friday as we spent time together, I said, you know, even if the Lord take you, this liver is gone. All these compositions will be gone. And then your glorious body will be in the presence of God, where there will be no temptation, no sin, nothing. We will be like God. But you need Jesus. You put Jesus away, it's philosophy. You have no Jesus, you have no life. You have no Jesus, you're still with the fleshly. And the fleshly sometimes go very down. That's all right. The godly is inside, and we pull you out. Thank God for God's mercy. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity today to talk about Jesus as God. And we talk today in a way that makes sense to us, because we see ourselves as sinners who know possibility of knowing God. And then, Father, one day the Son was revealed to us. And now we have this battlefield within our life to be godly like God and the fleshly. But thank you, Father, that you provide one. You yourself came down in the form of Jesus, so that the perfection of God took the penalty of death. And now the resurrection of Jesus gave us life. One day, Father, we will be resurrected. And we will shed away our fleshly body so that we will be perfect like God. So, Father, now we pray for one thing. Let's be patient with one another. And let's help one another so that when we help each other, we become more like Jesus. Thank you for the Lord's Supper, who symbolized Jesus himself. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are taking Jesus into our lives, saying we are one with him in a covenant of love. Bless your people. In Jesus we pray. Amen. To him. Jovi and Victor and Brother Plika, will you please come to serve the Lord's Supper together? We miss our brother Jack Kasanjan, the chairman of the board, who is enjoying vacation with his family in Oregon. You may be seated. I'm going to take you to the very actual moment of the Lord's Supper where Jesus did it in Matthew 26:26. But if anybody is new here, I don't think anybody is new, but in case you are new, we serve the Lord's Supper to everyone. You judge yourselves, said the Bible. And if you're a Christian, you partake of it, saying, when I take part of the bread and the fruit of the vine, you are part of Christ, and you are part of the body of Christ. All right? It's a symbol of the covenant. Jesus said in Matthew 26:26, easy to remember, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this is my body. The deacons may stand, please, and I'm going to pass the bread. The bread is going to be passed among the congregation, and you wait for the participation until the pastor is served, and we partake all together. Brother Victor, you pray that the Lord will bless our fellowship.
Good Lord, we just do thank you, Lord, for this message today. And thank you, Lord, that Jesus paid it all. And that we don't have to do anything, Lord, but just rely on the work of our Lord and Savior.